Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Boundary IPL podcast. For the first time, we are making our debut on Spotify Green Room. Not like anyone's listening to us, but I guess this is just something we're trying out in case someone wants to hear us out live.
And some random straggler, yeah, like they must have like mistakenly entered into it.
But yeah, you're more than welcome to join us. Yeah, I think we're starting this podcast just after the RCB Rajasthan game, which was a very interesting watch, and yeah, I think some really clinical finishing. But before we sort of get specifically into that game, Thomas, week one of IPL, what has been your thoughts? Or first of all, like, I'm really glad the IPL is back, and it just.
Before we get into that, I think we have to acknowledge that the Australian women's team, they just belted the competition and won.
Do you think we had any other doubts as to who would win it? This is the most dominant team in world cricket.
Yeah,
the way they've won so many World Cups.
Yeah, it was just,
this is like both genders combined, the most dominant team.
Yeah, man. And both teams have won 7 each. Yeah. Which is just incredible.
The Women's World Cup is younger than the Men's World Cup, right? So, given that they've had a shorter duration to win 7...
Then they're even more dominant.
Exactly. That's why I said that they're even more dominant. I should actually look this up, but as to...
No, but in fact, it came in before the Men's World Cup, if I remember correctly. There is this interesting thing that 1971, it was... 1975 was the Men's one.
That's so, yeah, 1973. Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
I remember hearing it sometimes. So kudos to them. Yeah. Like, they literally, they didn't lose a single game. They were 9-0 the full tournament. Like, it's not even, like, they didn't even let up for a single game.
Precisely.
And, going on a tangent on that, the BCCI, they've agreed to women's IPL as well.
I think it's because India did have a disappointing exit. I mean, they did play also decently well, and they did have a lot of shining moments. But I think it was a disappointing World Cup for India. Given that the World Cup before this, we made the T20 World Cup,
the final.
We made the one in England. We made the final, if I'm not wrong, in the 2020 T20 World Cup as well. I think that was February or March.
Australia. So, that one also we made the final.
Exactly, that's the thing. We were 2-time finalists in the last 2 ICC trophies in women's cricket. And we crashed out in South Africa. It was a disappointing game. That no ball really broke my heart. But
yeah,
I think that's just how the sport is, right?
Bumrah
balled a similar no ball to Fakhar Zamad in the 2017 or the... Yeah, I think it was the 2017 Champions Trophy.
The Champions Trophy one, yes.
So I think India has a history of bowling these crucial...
I just have this thing, okay? If the spinner's bowling a no-ball, it's just unforgivable for me. A pacer bowling it is... It's kind of understandable. Okay, they're going for the effort ball, so they overstep by quite a bit, so... It's understandable a little bit when a spinner does it, like literally they just take 2 steps and you can't just get those 2 steps.
Yeah, no, precisely. I totally agree with you. And I think even Ashwin bowled a pretty horrible over that turned it in RCB's way today, right? So when spinners bowl no balls, it just hurts a little more and you're kind of astonished. But do you want to jump straight into the IPL now?
Yeah, there's no need for them to encroach that.
It's really disappointing. And you can hear it in the commentators' voices as well. Every time a spinner balls a no ball, they're just like, oh, this is horrendous. But yeah. So yeah, jumping straight into the IPL. I know it's been more than a week now because it started last Saturday and we're sitting on Monday now. I mean, on Tuesday now, but I must apologize. I've had the busiest week and today has been my first sort of light day, and instead of getting a full 8 hours sleep night, I'm here recording. So that just shows how badly I wanted to
the dedication
about the week one. So how do you want to go? Do you want to talk top to bottom in terms of the table?
Yeah, like we'll just rip off the table because that's the easier way for us to go by. Like,
you know, it's 10 teams now. I'm not going into the whole alphabetical mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, it's too confusing.
Now for that, so let's go to the table. And surprisingly enough, it's Rajasthan the top. Not surprisingly, because they've had two really good games, and even this game, I think that Ashwin over really turned things in RCB's favor. But credit to RCB, I think me and Thomas were just texting about how DK and Shahbaz really took this game away. But let's start with Rajasthan, you know, from the top. So if you guys remember pre the tournament starting the episode, if any of you heard it, me and Thomas kind of had a disagreement where I really rated Rajasthan highly, while Thomas was a little more skeptical. But I think through the first week, we both have sort of agreed to each other's points and I found a great way where both of us kind of agreed that that's probably not the answer for this team. And that's the thing that I want to dive into first up, because that's my one observation with this team. I think it's one of the most balanced teams on paper, but Yashasvi Jaiswal and Riyan Parag are a little problematic, especially if you're playing these three foreigners. But I think that has to be my highlight. Otherwise, I think they've been, like, barring today's game where Sanju Samson did have some bad decisions, whether that was in the field or maybe even getting Chahal a little earlier. I mean, what after that horrendous Ashwin over, he bowled two or three overs later, right? I think that was the 13th or the 14th. And he bowled the 17th, which was, I don't think it was right, because Prasidh and Saini had to face the brunt of the momentum that RCB gained. And, you know, the leader of your attack couldn't come and put the brakes. So, I think Samson is a work in progress as a captain, but this team for me is pretty stable on paper. And I think, if they can maybe take Parag out for someone like Nishan, I think it would be perfect, because I really like Asif and Nidusin, but I think we like Parag, you need another bowling option. So I think, Nisham out for Parag, and I don't know about Yashasvi Jaiswal, really what to do with him. But yeah, what about you, Thomas? What's been your sort of analysis of Rajasthan?
The Jaiswal Parag thing, it just irritates me just seeing those two guys over there. Like, I think, specifically for Riyan Parag today, Simon Dole, he made it was a very tongue-in-cheek comment. He said that when you have experienced players like Jimmy Nisham and Rasi Vandadusen in your team, and you're playing only three foreigners, and you're giving a guy like Riyan Parag, who's averaging like 15, but strike rate is only 115, how does he get a place in the team? I get that he is a social media star, but being a star on social media doesn't get it done on the field. I'm paraphrasing here, but I think I delivered the general gist of it. So, that just irritates me, because the thing with my point here is, like, with Jaiswal especially, you're taking away what Devdutt Padikkal is good at. Like, he's an opener. But since Jaiswal is getting out so early, he's essentially coming in and playing as an opener. But yeah, that's just that's my observation in any case. So why not just, you know, play the guy as an opener instead of, like, going through this BS of whatever, playing Yashasvi Jaiswal. Today I realized he bowls, like, he, and I realized the level of...
I mean, the sample size was just one ball, and it was a horrendous ball. If my colleague, Thomas, get this, my colleague whose name is Rahul Nair, not the Rahul Nair that the both of us know.
Yes, you told me about that.
He beat me by 1 point when RCB needed 3 required. He did not have DK, I had DK, and DK missed the last ball. I just lost $90 for that. Not a good way to end that. But yeah, he's an RCB fan too, so shout out if I'll probably send this to him tomorrow. I think we did talk to touch upon the negatives, right? Like, I kind of understood why Riyan Parag made the team, because he's a youngster, he can, and I remember this one game particularly. I think it was against the Sunrisers Hyderabad, I think it was the 2020 season, where Rajasthan was sort of in trouble and they needed about 60-70 odd of the last 3-4 overs, and Rahul Tewatia and Riyan Parag had a partnership and they won the game for Rajasthan. far in that game, I don't remember him consistently batting well. I've seen him, you know, get exactly what you said. Average is 15 and as a striker, 150. It's not spectacular. Like, if you average 15, your striker should be well over 200. Because if you're that person who comes in the end, you know, plays six balls with 12 runs, that's perfectly acceptable. But if you...
Yeah, or even get it above 150, that's also good enough.
Not, like, that, get it as close to 200 as you can.
Yeah. So I went on the negatives, but like we did see, you know, that the lack of balance did hurt them, because if one of their main five bowlers gets hit, for like how Sani got hit, right, you don't have you don't have that guy who can like tidy over that one or two overs, and
which is why I think Jimmy Neesham could be a good shout, right?
Like,
easily a two over bowler in the IPL.
That just goes to my point. Like, they didn't trust, that's why they bottled those guys in the end, because they didn't trust any of their foreigners enough. Because I think Rajasthan was the only team which wasn't affected by the foreigner thing. They had all eight of their foreigners from the start of the tournament. Yeah. So there is something there. But I want to go into the positives there. I think
Chahal.
Yeah, Chahal. Even Ashwin to a certain extent. But I think, like, barring today. No, I think the partnership between them is very potent, you know, because Ashwin can, you know, plug one end that creates pressure that allows Chahal to attack and then get the wickets. And not that Chahal is also not miserly himself, but you get what I mean, right? When you play, when you bowl them as a tandem, that pressure builds up, especially in the middle overs where a lot of teams are looking to accelerate according to how good or bad a power play they had. A lot of teams since this year, they've had like little below par power plays, and that's the period in which teams look to capitalize. But then, no, you meet a Chahal and Ashwin, and those guys, they'll essentially go for like less than seven runs per over combined, which is like amazing. And on top of that, Chahal taking wickets, and like Ashwin, if it's a left-hander matchup, then he's just like, he's a beast. He's had the second most wickets against the left-handers in the IPL. So make of that what you will. I've liked their bowling attack seems interesting, but like I said, you know, if one guy is off the mark, like I think Sani is like the clearest weak link in that bowling attack. So if he gets taken for runs, that just skews the whole thing against them. And that is the only issue I have with them. Their batting also, like, I think their bat...
You know what I was just thinking, though? You sort of did mention that Sani is a weak link. And I honestly would like Rayan Paran to go out to get Yashasvi. But I've got a more interesting idea that maybe they should let Yashasvi Jaiswal go and get Neesham in. Article automatically opens. Samson at 3.
Yeah.
You have Hetmyer at 4. Then you have Neesham. And then you have Rehan Parag as well. So what that does is it sort of strengthens the batting. And it gives you at least, you can rely on 3 overs between, or at least 2 overs between
Neesham
and Parag, right? So I think that their problem seems pretty solvable. But it just depends on how long you want to, you know, rely and give Yashasvi as well chances, because you know they did retain him and they need to show that sort of faith, otherwise they'd be laughed at as a franchise. And I think the reason they weren't doing much about it is that his poor performances weren't affecting the result. It was all going well for them. They were 2 out of 2 coming into this game, but you know, he batted poorly for the third time consecutively, and then he bowled really badly. And at least from what I remember, he's been pretty substandard in the field as well, so there's nothing going his way. It is a little sad, given that, you know, he is a talented youngster. We did see a lot from him when he was leading the under-19 team. I think that was the batch which Ravi Bishnoi was in as well. It's sad to see, you know, youngsters sort of struggle. But I guess that's...
Yeah, and what worries me even more about him is he plays for Mumbai, right? So these are like his backyard, right? He should be definitely... like doing more in such conditions, because he should be knowing these conditions like the back of his hand, like more than anything. And that's what is like sticking in my craw, because I mean, if he's like,
but if they do, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, the thing is, like, if he's getting like a quick start, like okay, like in the power play he's hitting like 30 or 20 or something, that's little more, you know, understandable. Okay, at least he's giving him a start, he's getting out, but he's giving them the start, very crucial in the power play. But if he's not giving that, he's going out for less, and he takes up extra balls which other people could utilize, you know. But that's what's kind of annoying.
Yeah, definitely. I think barring that first game, Padikkal has basically opened for RR. Because Jessel's gotten out really early and Padikkal's had to come in.
Yeah. And it speaks to his talent that he still hit 30-odd in all the three games. Like, he could have gone for more, actually, if you think about it. I think Padikkal could have...
Did he not get too many big runs against Mumbai? I think he got up for 6 or something. Because I didn't watch that game, but I saw the scorecard.
I'm not wrong. Not too sure about that, but today he hit a quick fire 37 or something. 37 off.
Yeah.
And the first game he had a 45. Like, he...
Yeah, he made 7 of 7 against Mumbai. I just picked that up.
Okay. Yeah, so that is like his only failure, but like what he's shown so far, I like. But it's a testament to his talent that he's able to do that, I would say. Like,
I think maybe we can, if you have anything else to add, you can go ahead. But I think maybe we should move to the next one, given our history of, you know, sticking to one team for too long.
Yeah,
we kind of like,
so
Kohli, when it comes to this, we just don't let go. We're one franchise for 20 minutes, which is 7 years in podcast.
Yeah, so just a final. Yeah, just a final thing. That they've been very solid the first week, and I want to see what more they can do, like whether they're able to solve those issues.
Yeah.
And the only problem they have, they're in that group A, so they have that group A is a very mess, which I think I'll get to once we get to more of the teams, I think. Yeah, so who's second?
Yeah, totally agree with you. We are going with KKR next.
Okay, KKR. Yeah, so I think what Shreyas Iyer has added as a captain, he's added another dimension to them.
Yeah.
I think more than anything, like what he all the three games, even that RCB game, he was just if the team had batted a little more circumspectly, they could have gotten like 150 and they probably would have won that game, because
that looked enough. Yeah, 150 looked enough, the way he was, you know, marshalling his troops, and the bowling changes were spectacular. That's something Samson should pick up from Iyer.
Yeah, because what he did, like, I don't think he could have done more. Like, it was just stupendous what he did with that.
Yeah.
Because 130 they hit, and he made it as if it was like a 150 score. Like, he made it seem as though it was 20 runs more than it was actually. And like, the only thing is, but there is a more clearer path, I can see. One thing is, I think all the teams have these small nitpicks, nits that we can pick. Okay, here is where they can improve, like, etc., etc. So with KKR also, I don't think they fit that gear yet, you know, that they seem undeniable, unstoppable, because they still have to incorporate Cummins into this team. So Cummins will come in the place of, I think, Saudi, but Saudi has bowled so well. So these sorts of conundrums they'll have to deal with. So probably
it's a Lockie Ferguson conundrum all over again.
So I'm not sure. So who are their four partners now? Saudi, Russell, Narayan, and who am I missing?
Sam Billing.
What I would think tend to, I think they will drop Billings and increase the bowling depth.
Really?
So what?
No, but if I'm not wrong, wasn't Sheldon Jackson dropped?
He was.
Yeah,
so what I'm saying is,
I think Sheldon Jackson comes back in.
Yeah. So what I'm saying here, I think Sheldon Jackson, what he's done as a keeper, as a pure keeper, they don't need him to bat.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put it there. He can come in at 8 or 9, and if he comes in at 8 or 9, that means they're really in trouble. I don't think they need him really to come in and back. He's just there as a pure keeper. And KKR tend to do stuff like this, you know.
Kind of like a rollback to the 80s with cricket, where the keeper was just as good as a bowler with no batting ability.
Yeah, like, I saw 83 recently. So.
Yeah, Syed Kidwani, right?
Yeah, Syed Kidwani. Yeah, so yeah. I thought he was like a great, I mean, not a great batsman. I thought he was like a decent batsman. Then when I saw, oh, he's number 9, and I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, but that's been with keepers for a while.
I
really don't know who changed it, but the way I remember it, it's probably Gilchrist from the mid-90s. Who probably became, you know, the first dominant keeper batsman.
Probably, yeah, Gilchrist only. Yeah. Like, I don't remember anyone else before that. Mm-hmm. Probably some Sri Lankan keeper batsman. He must have opened
probably,
it.
Yeah, so,
and KKR, they tend to do stuff like this. They play like a Rinku Singh sort of guy in the middle order, like, because they don't need him, because they're so reliant on those, that engine room of Russell, Cummins and Narayan. And they're good enough to do that also. I think Russell, with the bat, he's good. With the ball, I'm not so sure. But like I said, once you bring in Cummins, that fortifies that bowling even further.
Definitely, yeah.
And that makes them even more interesting. Because like in the middle overs, they have the choice between Varun Singh, Narayan and Cummins. And then they don't need to like... I think they can afford to play Russell as a pure batsman. Based on that, that's what I would say.
Yeah. But that's the thing, right? Russell, he said that in the post-match interview after the Punjab game. You know, where he just came out and clobbered us right after, you know, Rahul Chahar really got us back in that game. But he spoke about that he understands his role right now. And he knows that, you know, he had a problem with his shoulder. Which is why when he balled against RCB, you know, they really tried to delay it as much as they could. And then he balled that last over and then... DK
exactly.
Six, right? So the thing is, he knows that there are problems with his bowling right now. And if any of you have heard this podcast before, he's probably hoping that the Dallas facility for the Dallas Mavericks,
Dallas Cowboys.
You should go look it up. They share the facility because Cuban and whoever is the owner of the Cowboys funded it together. But basically. That facility in Dallas, Texas, the Dallas Cowboys and the Dallas Mavericks, has probably done a world of good for his batting because, you know, he's batting like, what was it, 2016, 2017 Russell batted. But the thing is that his bowling is not coming to the fore as much. But I feel like if he can probably be fit enough to play as a, you know, proper batsman, and then, you know, once they get Cummins in, you've got Cummins, and like the plan that you said, right? So Cummins, Southee, Umesh, Varun Singh, Narayan, so that has five proper bowlers, and then just use what's his name, Venkatesh Iyer as a sixth bowler.
Nitish Rana.
Venkatesh Iyer as a sixth bowler.
Nitish Rana
with the golden arm against, you know, big batsmen. I remember he always got 80 out for some reason, which just made no sense to me.
Even Kohli also, I remember.
It's absurd. My God. But yeah, it was like Krunal Pandya had a really good recording with KV as well. All of these absurd bowlers who just have... I don't know, man. Like, Krunal's obviously a better bowler, but yeah. So yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah,
they have enough bowling there to play Russell as a batsman. If they drop Billings, just for the balance.
Yeah, because right now that just makes sense. Even though I like Billings more because he I don't think we've seen, even in the few games he's shown flashes, like you can bat according to the situation a little bit. But if you want to play Cummins, like, I mean, that's why I think they didn't need to bring back Cummins because they're again in that conundrum where they were in the first half of the season that, okay, what do we do with Cummins? And they weren't that successful in the first half of the season, and when he backed out in the second half, they played definitely better. So I'm interested to see what they do with regards to that.
Definitely. No, but I think what Cummins adds is he, because, you know, that 2021 season, even in the first half where they lost a lot of games, Cummins really batted well in that first half.
Yeah.
Right? So I feel like Cummins adds that, plus he's coming into this team as a test captain, right? And he actually marshaled his team really well in the Ashes. I felt he did a really good job. Mm. So he,
even the Pakistan series,
exactly, he's great, brought this, you know, new facet to his game where he looks more confident, and he was always this hardworking bowler who, you know, just run in. Like, that's the thing about Cummins. Like, he runs in balls, 10 over spells, and he just looks unfazed. He's just like this engine. So I feel like there's no harm in having that.
And he's much fitter now.
No harm in having that kind of a bowler. And, you know, he's been with this franchise before. He's come for a lesser price now, so that's lesser, you know, pressure. So I don't think it's a bad option. And if you have a fit Umesh Yadav the way he's bowling right now, Tim Southee and Pat Cummins, as you know, your pace attack, it's pretty bloody good on paper. So
And like with KKR, you want to ask them this: do you want 14 games of proper Russell batting, or do you want like seven? Like I'm saying, 7 games because of his fitness problems. 7 games of all round Russell.
If you make him ball, he probably plays 6 or 7.
Yeah, so you're just adding that load on his body, which is not required. Plus, he's on the field and he tends to make these acrobatic saves near the boundary, and he does get a few injuries from there.
And he always gets up holding his shoulder. It's so messed up.
Yes. Yeah, so that's the thing. You just lessen the load as much as you can on the tour. And probably in the playoffs, you just, you know, unleash him as a secret weapon if you really need it. But even then also, don't take that much of a chance. Because at this stage of his career, like, use him like how Mumbai used Pollard, I guess. That would be something that they could look at.
Yeah, but post Hardik being a prima donna and not bowling at all, I felt Pollard's been bowling a lot, right? Now, obviously, Hardik's moved on, and that's probably a good segue if you don't have anything else on KKR. But Gujarat, man, pretty impressive. Yeah. That bowling attack, pretty damn good.
They're unbeaten, right?
Yeah,
I mean, they played two games, but they're unbeaten.
100% record right now.
They played just the two games, but even then, very impressive. I think both of us are quite down on them.
I'm flabbergasted. I don't think I've used that word on this podcast.
I don't know. I'm still unsure about them because, see, again, but there they have that little more margin fire with the bowling. I think they have a few, one or two extra options in their bowling, if I'm not wrong.
Yes.
Yeah, which allows them to have their margin for error. Like, it's not like they are with Rajasthan where they just ironclad those 5 guys and hope you hope that they do their job well. I think there is little more margin for error with Gujarat in that sense. But
100%. You just mentioned more bowling options. I was just going through the scorecard from the DC game, and they used 7 bowlers.
Just
saying, right? They got Mohammad Shami, Hardik Pandya, Lockie Ferguson, Rashid Khan, Varun Aaron, Vijay Shankar and Rahul Tewatiya. That's pretty...
Yeah.
Wow.
So like, Rahul Tewatiya and Vijay Shankar, I don't rate them as much as... I don't rate Vijay Shankar as...
All 3 overs between themselves, right? Because Hardik knows that... And actually, that's the thing, right? That's the facet. Hardik's bowling 4 overs regularly. And he's bowling at 140.
That's the difference.
That is
the difference.
I really hope they're taking care of that back right now.
Yeah. So what we said at the beginning that we were down on them is because we thought that Hardik was playing as a pure batsman, right? Which reduces the value. And by that, it reduces the value of the bowling unit as a whole. But now that he's bowling, and he's been decent. I mean, I wouldn't say he's been stupendous. He's yet to face he's played Sunrisers, which I think we'll get to towards the end, and Delhi, who are not gotten their full complement of guys. So I'm still a little doubtful on Gujarat. Yeah. I think with Rajasthan and KKR.
Wait, Gujarat did not play the Sunrisers, they played Lucknow.
Oh, Lucknow, okay. Yeah, I made a mistake there. That was Lucknow who played. No, that was Rajasthan. Okay, so I'm getting mixed up here.
They played Lucknow,
I'm getting a little mixed up with the 10 teams and all that. So what I was saying, that Lucknow is a fellow new team. So there is that, you know, there will be that inexperience, of course, to get that, you know, first franchise win. And DC didn't have all their batsmen, at least their optimum batting line. So I think with Rajasthan and KKR, I am more confident that they can sustain it. But like I said, they are in that group A, and Gujarat is in that group B, which seems more beatable because Sunrisers are bad.
Yeah.
CSK are, by the looks of it, I'm not writing the obituary yet, but this is the first time they've lost 3 games in a row. And when that happens, I don't know. I fear for them. And I have a lot of theories. I just want to like bash them a lot, what they did. They are basically competing with RCB and Punjab. So if they're able to like split that between them half, 50, like win one game against both of them, that puts them in a driver's seat. That's what I would say. They have that advantage in that sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but and the batting also, I think the second game they were helped a lot by Shubman Gill, right? That 80 odd he hit.
If there's any sort of term as a leader of a batting attack, I would say it's Shubman. And he played really well though. He was really good.
Yeah, he hit it a decent strike rate, like I think 160, 170, quite good. So there is a degree which I'm impressed with them in that respect. But they need him to stay. He's literally if he fails, I think they are more liable to collapses because they don't have that much depth in the batting and it's very thin. If you think of it, they're playing Matthew Wade, who's not an IPL player. At least he's not a first choice IPL player. Our number 3 they're sending in, who's Vijay Shankar, who's just like Blair. They're forced to send Hardik Pandya at number 4 because there's credible.
Yeah, but I think Hardik Pandya at number 4 is still not bad.
It's not bad, but you're,
I think number 3 and openers is problematic.
Yeah. You're minimizing the time at which he's best, right? Like, he's more liable to get before he's able to attack the death. That's what I mean.
Definitely.
So there are, like...
You know when Gujarat lost Jason Roy? Maybe just for experience, they could have replaced him with Raina. I'm not sure if you can replace a foreigner with an Indian. But
you can.
Given that you have... Maybe Raina at number 3 wouldn't have been a bad idea. I understand that he's not in the best of form. But, you know, just having someone experienced... Oh, I would take Raina over Vijay Shankar, to be very honest. And I think they replaced him with...
Rahmanullah Gurbaz.
Gurbaz,
who's like, he's talented, sure, but he's
very talented.
Quite young, very young, like very raw as well. Like I thought he played a couple of decent innings in the T20 World Cup as well. Mm-hmm. But
maybe even they could have gotten Finch, right? Because Rahmanullah Gurbaz was announced before KKR.
But they could have gotten Finch, but Finch is in terrible form from what I've seen. But
yeah, he is, but yeah, Wade over Wade, maybe I would take Finch. Given the experience, and then it looks like a better batting lineup as well.
In terms of name,
abundance of options, yeah.
Yeah. So and then I think after Hardik is over, Abhidhan Manohar and Tevatiya. David Miller. So that after Hardik, it's a little more flaky. Like you're like, okay, Manohar, he seems okay. He's still had just one
and,
substantial
inning. Tevatiya has actually been pretty okay. He scored 40 in the first game and he scored 14 of 8 in the next. Which I mean, if you're playing 8 ball, then he scored 14. It's pretty decent. But the game before that, he scored 40. So he's improved as a batsman, is what I think.
I guess. I mean, I still don't have much. He's still not worth 9 crores, by the way.
He's not, but
he's a very streaky player, right? That's the point I'm making. Mm-hmm. Miller, I think, is probably the more experienced guy in that band. But even then, I think Rashid Khan, he deteriorated his batsman actually past couple of seasons. So there is that depth also. It makes it very iffy. So if they lose, like if they're like 36-4 in the power play, I think it's much more easier to knock them off, and you know, you get what I mean. So I think they're more reliant on their bowling, and their bowling has been impressive, mighty impressive.
It has.
So that is it.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, and I think what Rashid hasn't—he's not taken a lot of wickets, but again, he's been like really economical. I think He conceded 27.
He's getting tight.
Yeah, he's conceded 27 in the first game and 30 in the next. So yeah, he's not, people aren't, you know, targeting him too much. But he's doing his job. He's keeping it economical. Yeah. And yeah, I think it's a very good bowling attack, like you just said. I don't think Hardik bowling 4 overs. Lucky Ferguson, Mohammad Shami, that first game. What was that spell, man?
Oh, that is just one of the best and one of the better.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone bowled. I think there must be a few others which I'm not recalling now. But yeah, it was mighty impressive what he did in that first spell. Like I said, it was just that first game jitters as well, right? That played a role, first role with when you're into bat and all that.
I mean, obviously, I still really like KL Rahul as a player, but getting him first ball, loved it.
Yeah, I think there was a degree of schadenfreude for both of us.
I'm always going to tell the story that KL Rahul's debut for the, they were called the Kings XI Punjab at that point, but his debut for Punjab, he scored the fastest 50 in the history of the IPL. And his debut for Lucknow, he got a golden.
First ball.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, I think the ceiling is much lower for Gujarat, but if they sustain it, like we have to see another week, probably assess them after that.
Honestly, if they can get another win in their next three, right, it sort of makes their task a little. I would say the next three or the next two, right? Because then of five, you have three wins, and then you have nine games, and you need to win four to probably seal your place. So I don't think it's too much of an aftertask for them. They had a good start, which is a very good sign for a new team,
which is important.
Yeah.
So, but I think like they and Lucknow, you want to wait and see for a couple of weeks and see like what the template is. I think for all the other teams, it's much easier for us to recognize. Okay, there is past data that we can glean. Okay, this is what they used to do, and they're kind of continuing that. Probably with Rajasthan is a little more nuanced because they've gotten the better players this time. But even then, also there is some degree of predictability. With Gujarat also, the Hardik captaincy thing, that's a big difference maker. Like, so far, he's made the right move, but we don't know how long it can get sustained. But yeah, they made a good start, and I think I hope they continue. I hope they prove us wrong. We were very down on them.
Yeah. I still remember both of us were just talking about how they have a great bowling attack, but I think, like we already mentioned, 360 degree Hardik Pandya is just a different beast for Indian cricket. That's really helped them. And if Shubman Gill can continue batting the way he is, be that anchor, get them to those 150, 160s consistently, and then that bowling attack comes to the fore, or even the bowling attack, it sticks to you. Because I don't see Gujarat, they can prove me wrong, but I don't see them as a team that can chase a 200 total.
No, definitely not. So that should be the template, I think.
They need to move to the 2016 Sunrisers template.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say.
They had Warner and they did face 190 odd, right? Against RCB in the final, but that was because of David Warner.
200.
Right?
200,
yeah. So that's the thing, right? They had David Warner that year, but if you remember, I think Sunrisers do hold the record for the most number of games under a score of 140 or something. And Punjab are really
good.
But another segue. Are you seeing how I'm rolling these out? Segues. I'm segueing today. But yes. We can jump straight into Punjab. I want to hear you first. Because I'm still skeptical. I'm still holding my position. I don't think we'll qualify. I think there's too many holes in this team to qualify and win games down. Like, because we're very erratic. They like that teenage kid who's going through adolescence. I don't know what to make of this team yet. We have to still see as time goes. But what has been your first impression of Punjab?
It seems very exciting. Like I don't think you'll get boring games with them in all. Thing. Yeah, it's a very polite way of saying.
Boring, Thomas. Have they ever been boring? Even when
that's also true.
They've screwed up. And then we'll defend 130. Actually, I still remember we did that last year, and I'm like, what? What are you guys doing? You mess it up when it's 5 required on the last over, and then you defend 130. Why don't you have normal games? My heart rate was not stable the last 2 years.
Yeah, so what I mean in terms of the batting, they're very exciting. So that's what I meant. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I don't know, like you said, I tend to like the thing with compare Rajasthan and Punjab here, because they're teams of a similar stature and levels of success, etc. So what Rajasthan did is they basically brought in, like, they have the base of the batting with Butler, Samson, Jaiswal, okay, whatever. But and they built on that, bringing in a DDP and Hetmyer. What you guys did, I think you built an entirely new. I think Mayank is the only guy. Mayank and SRK, and SRK, low sample size, you don't know what his ceiling is. So basically, is Mayank. So you're trying to build a batting lineup from scratch, and you're building a batting lineup from scratch with a few unavailable players as well. If you think about it, because ideally, there's so many in the team. But, and you have this conundrum between him and Rajabaksa, actually. Because
and just to clarify, in case some political people have entered this podcast, this is Bhanuka Rajapaksa, not the leader of Sri Lanka who's messing things up right now massively. This is Bhanuka Rajapaksa, the big leader. So
Who's a very poor wicketkeeper.
Yeah, thank God for Jitesh Sharma.
Oh yeah. So I think the first two games I was not sold on what you guys did.
I still am not sold.
Yeah, I think the third game, there's just one game. But Jitesh Sharma, he showed flashes, okay. You can rely on him a bit. And he's
as a keeper, 100%. He was really good as a middle order hitter as well.
Yeah, the first ball, the first attacking shot he played, he got down on his knees and just hit, what's his name? Pretorius, I guess, for a six. Was bowling very well at that stage. Yeah. And it was just like astounding. The confidence with which that kid played, it was great.
He's not a kid, he's 28.
IPL kid. In terms of...
Just to like give you perspective, because so actually what I do, I mean, it's apologies to the other team's fans. But after every Punjab game gets over, and the day before a Punjab game, right? So, Cricbuzz does these lives, right, after games get over. So, typically, when they review a match that is just finished, the last 10 minutes of the review is a preview of the next day's game. So, end up doing is, a day before Punjab's game, I watch the preview on Cricbuzz, then I watch the preview on Cricinfo, and I watch the preview on Cricbuzz in Hindi and in English. Then the next morning, I watch Akash Chopra's preview. Then I watch, start the preview. Even if I'm at work, I put earphones on. If someone at work is listening, shout out. But I put earphones on, start listening to the preview, even if I'm working till about 8:30. And I have the game on this side. After the game gets over, I watch the post-match press conference. I listen to Cricbuzz Hindi, Cricbuzz English. And Cricinfo, and then it doesn't get over there. I go on the IPL app, watch the post-match interview, and then I go on Punjab's YouTube channel and watch the vlog that they put up. So I can give you full context about Jitesh Sharma's life, about Vaibhav Arora's life, all of that chat. So Jitesh Sharma, just to give you some nice trivia, he was part of. Was it 2013 when Mumbai won their first IPL?
Don't tell me he was part of that team.
He was part of that team. So he was an 18-year-old, I think, in that team, 2013. If I'm getting the date wrong, if it was 2013 or 2015, which, you know, basically...
It's 2013, dude.
When Ricky Ponting started out as captain and then Rohit took over and then they won. So Jitesh Sharma was in that team. And if you guys remember, Anil Kumble was in that team as the mentor. So Anil Kumble saw him in that team and he said, this dude's talented. And then he didn't disappear. He was still, you know, grinding it out for Vidarbha in the, domestic circuit. and I think he's Maharashtra. Mm. Born there. He's born in this place called Amravati. Great, what do you say, oranges? Amazing, because I had Amravati oranges. Because I'm in Bombay, right? he played for Vidarbha and he's 28 now. And this season, this Syed Mushtaq Ali season, his strike rate was 170 and he batted at 4 and 5 for Vidarbha. So that's why he was into this team. And since he's 18, he's always been a keeper. So that explains, you know, that athletic catching, because and even that DRS call for Dhoni. Tremendous, and the catch was pretty, you know, very instinctive. I think Rajapaksa, no offense to him, but he would have let that go for sure. But Jitesh is great, and I can also give you a little trivia about Vaibhav Arora. Vaibhav Arora was part of Punjab squad 2 years back. So when KL Rahul was captain first season, where we had bought Vaibhav Arora for base price at the auction, and he was apparently doing really well in the Nets, but Punjab did not do that. Opportunities, or they give too many opportunities and then don't give some people opportunities. That is Ishan Poyal. But he was in that team, and then, you know, they did that drastic. I think we had only retained 9 players or 11. I think we had retained 10 or 11 players that the following season. And Vaibhav Arora was bought by KKR.
Mm.
KKR didn't play him either. KKR didn't play him either. And then in the mega auction, obviously, everyone was released. And I'm not sure who went into a bidding war, but he was bought for 2 crores because in the domestic circuit, he sort of built this reputation of swinging the ball both ways. And everyone saw that on display.
He's a Himachal guy, right?
But Arora's a Punjabi. So in his post-match, this thing, he was speaking fluent Punjabi. I don't want to say.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm saying is like, he plays for Himachal, right? So, Dharamshala is a more very swingy wicket, so he must have honed his skills over 100%. There. Yeah, you understand what I mean?
But I think that wind in the middle of the Himalayas really helps to swing the ball, right?
Yeah, he's like a very, like, he's like a slingshot, the way he just, he's a very slingshotty action. So he's like a more slingshotty Sandeep Sharma. That's what from that one game which I saw, that's what he was. Like the way he was able to swing it. He had one mean in swinger. I remember the setup. Ruturaj. In swinger, great out swinger. Yes, amazing.
Wait, did Ruturaj fall to Rabada? Or, I mean, let me just check this. Because I have a feeling Vaibhav got Robbie and one more dude. And I don't think it was Moin, because Arshdeep got Moin. But I need to look this up. And I should keep the team with reviewing results on. But I just got carried away in my trivia. just give me a second. So, CSK, Gaikwad, Gaikwad to Rabada, Robbie and Moin Ali. Who did Arshdeep get then? Jadeja. It was a similar dismissal though. It was chopped on. Game obviously Livingston was the man of the match, but I was so pumped by these two debutants. Even though I felt really bad for Raj Bawa. You know, 2 games, he didn't get enough opportunities, and then Punjab did what Punjab does and dropped a player. So that was quite disappointing, but it's okay.
Yeah.
No one will remember that. If we would have lost, the critics would have just come up and be like, oh, he scored 160 in an under-19 World Cup and you don't even ball him.
It's quite sad, actually, what happened with Bawa. Like, a lot of, I thought he would be good.
And you know, there was this one moment in the RCB game, because we weren't, I don't want to say we were in control during that chase, even though we didn't let the run rate get away from us. But when Bawa got out, I think we had lost 2 wickets consecutively to Siraj, that one game.
Mm.
And then when Bawa got out, what I loved is that the whole dugout, right? They were still clapping for Bawa, and Mayank went, gave him a pat on his back, and, like, you know, that little bro hug. he yelled that, and I was like, that's good. And right after the game, when, like, typically the man of the match, whoever, you know, did a great job at the game, they typically smash their face in cake, right? That's what on TV. So they also smash Bawa's face with cake. So I was like, this is so nice. You're making sure the youngster doesn't think about it too much. Yeah. But 2 games later, they're like, hey man, your chance is gone.
Just like a hashtag nice touch thing moment.
Yeah, it was a nice touch, but then I don't know. Now, and what I really like is, you remember before the game we were talking about how Punjab don't have a nailed on footballer, and I did think Harpreet was, but given these Mumbai conditions with swimming pools forming in my hand, forget swimming pools on the ground because of the humidity here. So I think, yeah, maybe when they move to Pune, he could be a better bowler there, because I think Punjab played 2 back-to-back games there. But I think Vaibhav Arora, Ashdeep Rabada and Rahul Chahar gives us 4 straight-up bowlers, and just the way Livingston bowled, and Odin can give us 2 overs if Livingston can continue this way. And guess what, I think this spray thing is really working with the Dew, because the Dew hasn't been crazy post that.
But they're using some spray called Upstar 20. So they normally use that for crops.
But now they're using it a lot. Like, it is literally sprayed like 5 to 10 minutes before the game starts. So it's really good, because I still remember the commentators were talking about how they used to spray that about half an hour to 45 minutes before the game started, and the effect wouldn't be there. And you know, when the umpires come out for pitch inspection, not exactly pitch inspection, the umpires walk out first. So minutes before the umpires walked out is when they sprayed it. And then, you know, the teams walked out and they did the same thing in the second. So I'm really liking this, because as a cricket fan, I don't want to always be reliant on the toss, right? That's not the most ideal situation.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to see.
Cricket, with the amount of advances, like with the amount of advancements that are there in the world, I think they can easily build retractable roofs onto cricket stadiums. That's my thing. That reduces the effect of dew and those stoppages due to weather as well.
Yeah, but then there'd be no swing then. If there's no way wind can enter the stadium.
Yeah, see, that's so for a night game, I don't think swing is as much a factor, right? Dew effects in the night, right? That's what I'm saying for the second inning. Yeah, so what I'm saying is this, like, for the second innings or something, you just put the retractable roof or towards the end of the first innings, you put the retractable roof, you reduce the buildup of dew. See, there are ways of doing this. Like, I don't think it's because cricket, compared to other sports, like, there are stoppages due to rain, which are less than ideal. And yeah, so that's my point.
I think yeah, maybe with the rain point, the retractable roof does make sense. But I think most grounds are open from the like basically under the stands, and then the space between the stands and the seats inside under the shed, that is open at most grounds. So I think maybe At grounds where swing really comes into play, there still would be a little bit. But yeah, maybe this is an investment the BCCI could look into, being the richest cricket board. Especially, like a stadium like Bangalore, dew doesn't play a factor there at all anymore. Because
the shortness of the ground.
No, the drainage system is amazing. And dew doesn't
that's
take
place,
but that's also not, that's affected the flatness of the wicket, which is good in a way, because it's not a batting paradise anymore. And obviously I know this because I have friends who play in the Karnataka system, because there's not been an ideal game at Bangalore. It's like 3 years.
Yes, but now this is like the third year now.
So yeah, I think that could be something we're looking forward to next year. But yeah, I think with Punjab coming back to Punjab now, they've done. I would say I'm impressed, because if you remember our preview, I spoke about how I just want us to develop these players, because I definitely think this is a team that can be our team for the next 5 years. barring Dhawan, I think every other player in this playing 11 can be in this team for the next 5 years. So I really sort of fancy this squad to be our base, and we're you know, making all the right moves in that sense. That, you know, even if we don't qualify this year, just seeing Vaibhav and Jitesh and, you know, Arshdeep also, he's sort of flying under the radar, but he's doing a good job. Rabada for me is, you know, top two, top three bowlers in the world across all three formats. And, you know, him being in this team. And then you've got Mayank and Dhawan right now. Besto / Rajapaksa. I think Livingston, you know, he's 27, 28. I think even he can dominate. And he's giving me a lot of max feels, to be very honest.
Yeah. Sure. I think Livingston has been great. I think I don't think he's that good a bowler.
He's not a 3-4 over bowler.
That was just his day, you know. Like with the bat, he already had the confidence, and he just like it was just like a typical Maxwell day. He has a good day with the bat, and then he just takes a couple, 2-3 wickets.
Yeah.
In the pause, and takes a couple of catches as well. To like pan it off, so it is very weirdly reminiscent of that. This guy, only thing, this guy is a little more bulkier. Yes. What's his name? Livingston's a little more bulkier. Yeah, so
you think Max Livingston's bulkier than Maxwell?
Maybe. I think so, dude. Like, I think Livingston's much taller than him.
He's taller, but I don't think he's bulkier.
I think
Maxwell's
so.
Maxwell's got the big guns.
He does. What I'm saying is, there's a lot of power behind Livingston's shot. I think he has the longest six, I think, so far. 110
meters.
Yeah, 108, 110.
Yeah.
So something like that. So he's just like terrifying. It is just like, like with Maxwell, it's a little finessey. Even the shot that the 60 hit.
Nah, man, that golf stroke that he has, Maxwell.
Yes, yes.
Work of beauty.
Yeah.
And a lot of power, obviously.
Yeah, but yeah, Livingston, yeah, great thing. So I just wanted to ask you this: like, Odin right now is very raw at the moment, because I don't think you can rely on him to bowl four overs as well. He's very erratic. He is exactly what early years Russell was, actually. Like, he was utilized more as a bowler.
Yeah.
Probably you need to develop him more, but I don't know. Like, you have this conundrum with Besto to come in. I think he should be available for the next game, right?
He is.
Yeah, so what happens? So, because Rajapaksa has done a very good job, considering the circumstances. I know he was like a like-for-like replacement for Besto, but I think if you bring in Besto and keep Rajapaksa, you cement the top four, top five actually, and make it even more potent. And Odin, I don't know, like, so far he's very erratic with the ball. He sprays it around quite a bit. Like, and what I noticed with him is, like, it's not just that he's bowling in the wrong areas, he's not bowling to his speed. So that's a big issue which I have with Odin. That's more than anything else. So
I'll give you my two cents on this. Okay, so I definitely feel that in terms of balance, in terms of, you know, accuracy of a bowler and you know, even contributing with the bat, I do think Bennyhauser is the better candidate for this. But I think Odin's just in the team because he's a match winner. And to his, you know, benefit and like to his credit, he did win us the game against RCB. We would have lost that game if he didn't play that game. So he did win us that game, definitely. And I think we haven't paid like an astonishing amount of money. I think we paid 5.5 crores, which is not bad. Given that, you know, quickly the flavor of the season players, like I call them, they go for a lot more. They touch 10, 11 CR. We paid 5.5 crores for him. And the reason I think Odin needs to stay in this team is also the bowling, right? Because right now we're playing, we've got Rahul Chahar, excellent, Rabada, excellent, Vaibhav Arora, great debut. Arshdeep also, he's done nothing wrong in the last 3 years that he's played.
So there's like what you said, right?
Yeah.
Rabada is one, Chahar is 2 and Arshiv is a great number 3 bowler, like, in terms of hierarchy. And then
Vaibhav is no pressure on him and he's 4th, right? Sure, he gets a new ball and that's his role. His role in the team is to get the new ball up front. But the thing is, the reason I need Odeen is that if I drop Odeen and get Bairstow, what happens? Links is my bowler. It doesn't work out. So I think Odeen needs to stay for that very reason. And that's what, you know, they asked Anil Kumble.
Can I just play number 5? Jitesh Sharma will come in number 6.
So I'm saying that post the auction, right? Ask Anil Kumble, because Anil Kumble is a part of, was a part of the ESPN Cricket Info sort of expert panel before he signed on with Punjab, right?
Yeah.
So they asked him that, is there any regret you have post the auction? So he said, no, everything went to our plan. Except that we wanted an Indian all-round. And now that hits me. You know, that would have sealed the thing for us. Like, even if it was someone like a Krunal, who we had almost bought. Right? If it was a Krunal or it was... I don't want to say a Tevatiya, but even a Tevatiya wouldn't have been fine. Honestly, someone who can...
What about a guy like Rishidhavan? Like, I mean, you did get him, right? You guys did get him.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, but now that's the thing, right? Who did he come in for?
That's the conundrum you guys
have. Because right now the player who can be dropped is Odeen. But if you drop Odeen, you want to get best.
See, what I would do is this.
So why would you drop?
What I would do is this. Probably, like, I'm spitfiring here. Even though Jitesh Sharma has batted so well, you've gotten back Bairstow now. He will take over the gloves now. So, Mayank, Dhawan, Bairstow, Panaka. That's 4. Then 5 is Livingston. 6, you keep it as, what's his name? Rishidhavan. Six is Shahrukh Khan. 7 as Rishidhavan. Then 8, 9, 10, 11 are your, whatever, those 4 guys in whatever order in which they come. So that way, the 5th bowler allocation.
I think Rahul Chahar bats above now. He's
a fair batsman. I wouldn't rely on him, but
and you know, so he's been training at the NCA post his injury after the Cricket World Cup, and they asked him what has he been doing. So he said he's been focusing on his fitness. He's been doing his bowling drills as usual, but he's been spending a couple hours in the nets batting.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
he's like, oh, that's where that 6 came from.
No, so what I was saying is, I think Livingston, what's his name, Rishidhavan, 5th bowler allocation. Like, maybe you sprinkle in Shahrukh Khan also, if he bowls, I don't know. Like, ideally, I think the most vulnerable guy is actually Shahrukh Khan, based on what he's done so far. Like, I think he's right now, like, he's not shown.
Nah, I'm going to stop you there, okay? Like, I've heard your theory about bringing Rishidhavan and everything. But this is precisely what I didn't want Punjab to do. You know?
Okay.
I've already made that mistake with Baba, you know, being that team who just chops and changes. Only, like honestly, I would love it if Mayank walks out and says, we're unchanged. Right? I would love it because I know Bairstow's been here, but Bairstow's been playing test cricket for the last month. And he's just flown in from, not from Sri Lanka or Bangladesh or even Pakistan, like the Australian players have. He's flown in from Trinidad, which is basically about the same time zone as the US. So jet lag takes 3-4 days when you fly in from there. So I think maybe just give Rajapaksa another game. And you don't... Obviously, if he doesn't do the job, Bairstow is the better batsman. But I just think we should go unchanged. And maybe later, I think the only change I see is Rajapaksa for Bairstow. Even though I've loved him so far. But I think, I think one more problem has been that we haven't seen the best of Mayank as the batsman. So that is really, he was supposed to be the anchor of this team along with Shikhar Dhawan. I don't think we've seen the best of either of those two. So yeah, let's see.
Just a last thought. I think this team is just built to, you know, attack, right? So that top 5, you just cement the... whatever, the surety of the batting. Sorry, I was going for. But yeah, I mean, you still need to work out a few kinks. But like I said, Group B, much more theoretically easier games compared to Like, yeah, you're basically, except barring one team from Group A, you're playing the Group A teams just once. And yeah, based on when you catch, and the team which you're playing from Group A twice is Delhi. So yeah, depending on what day you catch them, you could possibly beat them or split that series 1-1. So yeah, right now you, so that gives the Group B teams a little more advantage, I feel, over the Group A teams, because the Group A teams, they can just take points off each other, because the parity in that group is very even. Like, all five teams are very, like, you wouldn't be surprised if they're playing amongst each other. If they were to win a game, you wouldn't be surprised. That's what I would say. Yeah. So I think, like, 2 out of 3, perfectly fine start. And you bolster that run rate as well. And run rate will be a very important factor in such a tightly contested tournament.
It's been an important factor in an 8-team tournament. In a 10-team tournament, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, so because, like, there's a 40% chance of reaching the playoffs, right? Because only 4 out of the 10 will go through. So that increases that margin for error. So, finally, you got that massive win against CSK helped a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think historically, over the last 4 to 5 years, at least what I can remember for sure, in the last 4 to 5 years, there's been that traffic jam at 4, 5, 6, right? In the sometimes it's even gone down to 7 and 8. Well, you know, every team can qualify in like the last 2-3 games of the season. So it's going to be tight, because, you know, like we mentioned at the top when we did the preview of the season, I think every team has its weaknesses this year. There's no like Mumbai Indians of 2020.
At
the end, right? That definitely, sort of stature of a team is not there. So I think every team can beat every team, and that's why this IPL seems like a level playing field. And yeah, it's looking great. I think we should move to another team. Now we've spent way too much time, as we always do. I remember looking at the clock when it was 12, and I'm like, hey, we've finished 2 teams, not bad. But we took 40 minutes to do Gujarat and Punjab. But okay, Lucknow, this should be quick. We both don't really like them, but sorry. Keep the bias aside. But yes, Lucknow, what have been your thoughts of Lucknow?
Yeah, so they played three games, right? They played the CSK, they played Gujarat, and they played, what's the third team? Sunrisers. So, I don't think we can make any observations about this game, can we?
No, I don't think so. But yeah, I want to say something. I think KL's improved as a captain, especially in the Sunrisers game. I think he did much better job. And yeah, as much as I hate to admit it, I feel like he's entering his peak years as a leader in what is even that color? I was gonna say in shine in the dark color, fluorescent.
No, but to that I would counter.
He's entering, like, you know, typically they say, oh, he's entering his peak years in red. I don't even know what color that is. Drop it in the comments. It's fluorescent, isn't it?
I'm not getting it.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So, but to that I would counter, the first game he just fumbled it against Gujarat. Yeah, so I don't know. I really don't know what to make of Lucknow. Deepak Hooda has been good. Yeah. So that's a positive.
Badhoni.
Badhoni also, like, the guy they got from out of nowhere. Like, so I did some reading up on this dude. It seems like Gautam Gambhir, he plays for Delhi. He's a part of the Delhi system. Badhoni. He's not played a single first-class game for them. He's 22 years old. And Gautam Gambhir, despite his other shortcomings, he tends to find this talent from these places and champions at cause, especially with the Delhi Cricket Board. I don't know what the name of the cricket board is, but it's a very insular system more than anything. Like, he champions the cause of all these guys from outside Delhi. So, like, I remember he did the same for Sani as well, Abdeep Sani. And Badhoni, I think he's from UP. Not sure where he's from. Yeah, so he's done a similar thing, and he was very gung-ho about Lucknow getting them. Now, the kid is very mature. Like, yeah. he faced up to Lockie Ferguson, hit him for a 6. And like, Lockie Ferguson bowls at 145 clicks. To hit such a ball for a 6, you need like proper nuts on you to do that. Like, so he's been a thing. So, like, whereas earlier I was very free about that, whatever, that depth in the middle order batting with Deepak Hooda and Badhoni, it nullifies that, I guess. Yeah. But again, like I said, Deepak Hooda has faced like 3 teams who will get on, 2 of them will get on to later. But yeah, Gujarat's a fellow new team and all. So I want to see them play like the more established and more coherent teams in the tournament, like the Rajasthan, the Kolkata, the Bangalore, the Punjab, the Mumbai's even. So something like that. That's what I would say.
No, but you know, I remember sending you that tweet that Vaseem Jaffer tweeted, which is why I wanted to get to Badhoni. So he said, okay, I'm going to read it out verbatim from his tweet. So he said, imagine it from Badhoni's POV. You walk out with 40 needed of 16, facing IPL's leading wicket taker. Behind the stumps, you see one of the greatest finishers. You look at the area you're targeting. The world's best fielder is standing there. And then you impress them all. Like, that just puts things in perspective, right? Like, Bravo running into you. And Dhoni keeping behind you, and then you try to sweep, you know, Bravo, and you hit him for 6 over Ravindra Jadeja, which is just wow on so many fronts. Right, like he looks so unfazed, and that's probably been one of the themes of this IPL, right? Like, I know we have sort of spoken about it, but you had Abhinav Manohar, you have Ayush Badhoni, you had, I know Jitesh is not as young, but Vaibhav's 23. So you have these young sort of
guys. Tilak Verma.
I think Akash Deep against KKR was phenomenal. I don't think he was as good today.
But, yeah, I think we'll get on to him a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying Akash Deep was good. Tilak Verma was good.
Sheba's also to some degree.
Exactly. So it's like these younger players. I still remember having this discussion with you where I was like, should the IPL, you know, go with the 5th foreigner because there isn't enough talent to play 7 Indians consistently. But I think I'd be very happy to admit that I was wrong. There's so much talent that we don't know about. And they're all coming to the forefront because of those 2 extra teams now. And it's great because, you know, 14 extra Indian players get to play now, which is wow.
I think the problem would, like, that's the fifth problem, foreigner conundrum. Would be like, so now I'm pretty sure the IPL is looking to expand beyond the 10 teams and all, you know, like so let me direct you to this. I'll send you the link also. Jared is this thing on his Substack that the IPL is poorer in quality. I mean, in terms of like it's diluted, like the talent is diluted evenly, right? Which has led to like guys like Umesh Yadav coming to the fore here, Ajinkya Rahane getting a starting 11 thing. So he wrote that with a 10-team tournament, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, I mean, to keep the status quo of 4 foreigners, whatever. But like as it expands, you know, like I'm pretty sure the IPL, BCCI will look to expand into other cities and. Like, I don't think there's shortage of cricket grounds anywhere in India. So there's
I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the beauty here that I still remember Cricket Info did a debate saying that, you know, we should have 5 foreigners. Akash did it persistently. And I think, if I'm not wrong, on one of the podcasts that, was it the Red Inker that Jai did, or I think it was the Spotify Green Room one, where they asked him this question, that do you think they should go with 5 foreigners? And the thing is, this question was asked time and again, and there were rumors floating around that BCCI is considering it. But I think we won't get these stories of, you know, the Vaibhav Arora's and the Ayush Badhoni's and the Tilak Verma's if that 5 foreigner rule was there. And like, we were just talking about Punjab before we jumped into Lucknow. If the 5 foreigner thing was there, it wouldn't be a problem at all. You go Bhanuga Rajapaksa, you go Bairstow, Rabada, Livingston, and Odin Smith. you're done, you're sorted, you're covering your bases, right? It's the same for so many other teams. But that's the beauty. It's seven Indians. That's what it's doing. It's servicing Indian cricket. It's making sure Indian cricket's nurtured. And at the same time, the quality is sort of maintained because that's just how good Indian cricket is right now. But obviously, if they do expand, they have to reconsider.
Yeah, they have to consider that because that will further their dilution further, right? So, right now, they're able to, step up because now there are experienced players around them to build around. But once...
And there were a bunch of experienced players that didn't get bought. Your Piyush Chawla. They didn't find any team.
Naval Kulkarni,
Shakib Al Hasan.
Yes.
They didn't find a team. So, this is how it is. I think Mujeeb didn't get a team either. So, it's just how it is right now. And there were about three teams that bought only seven foreigners. So, it's not even that there was a shortage of slots.
I think for now, this is good. It's nice to see these stories, but... once they reach the critical mass of expansion,
Thomas, for example, I know we're pausing on Lucknow for a bit now, but let's say there are two more teams, right? And you go with the five foreigners rule, that's 12 more Indian players playing. That's still sort of, maintaining that balance because they've gone from 8 to 12. So it's not sort of catching my drift. I still think it's going to be majority Indian players. Because even the Premier League has the homegrown players rule. I think there should be something like that because it's not as strict for leagues abroad, like football leagues, but you still sort of need to retain that core of nurturing the talent that is locally sort of, right? Like someone like an Andreas Christensen qualified there, Fabregas qualified there, because even though they're foreign players, they came through the English system. So I think the same thing needs to be maintained. Obviously, cricket's a lot more different. So there's not going to be a person flying down from Trinidad here and getting a citizenship here or getting a work visa here and playing and then coming up the IPL ranks.
One thing is, I think there should be a facility where, if people weren't so money hungry, people could send these, these talented youngsters to play in these different domestic setups that sets them up to battle different conditions. That won't happen.
This deserves a different podcast. Maybe post the season, we can do an analysis because BCCI needs to make their mind. If they want to get two more teams, they should probably do it next year because they're going to sign a 5-year contract with the new broadcaster and then they probably can't do it for a while, right? Because that dilutes their ability to make money because the money they get per game would go down if the number of games increase. So they need to make up their mind right now. They want two more teams, do it right now. Don't wait for the... And the media trend has already gone out, so they need to think fast. Back to Lucknow.
Lucknow. So I think Badhoni and Hooda. Yeah, both of them have impressed, I think. I think we've not seen the best of their openers, so probably that is one thing.
Barring the CSK game. And I think Rahul's been good 2 out of 3 games, so I don't think that's too much of a problem.
Yeah, but I don't think we've seen them fire together in tandem.
In tandem, barring that one game.
Yeah, exactly. Then that's the thing. That's the problem. It's I don't know. I find both them, they're either too circumspect or both are attacking. So I think one of them has to make up their mind. Okay, I'll, depending on what it is on the day. Okay, I'll anchor. You go for it. So there is that, Jugalbandi, that nice balance.
I think one more observation that I wanted to make, because we were talking about Lucknow possibly having the best opening combination. I think because the grounds, especially in Mumbai, we haven't seen too much in Pune yet. I think only 2-3 games. But the thing is that in the grounds in Mumbai, the first 4 overs or so of the 6, the ball's been swinging consistently. Yep. Right? So I don't think... And every team seems like, barring Chennai, I think every team has a player that can swing the ball up. So that has been the major reason why I don't think you can stand out and say, this team has a great opening combination and, they're whatever, 80 for 0, 70 for 0 in the first six. I think Punjab were 68 for 0 against you guys in the first game. But barring that, I don't remember. I think even you guys were unbeaten in the power play against us. But I think you're getting my drift that majority of the teams have lost one player from their opening combination. Perhaps I've not seen great partnerships. And I think that would change. Maybe towards the playoffs when I think all of us know they're going to go to Ahmedabad. Because it's no secret. Even though they're like, the venue will be announced, I'm pretty certain it's Ahmedabad.
Yeah.
But when they go to Ahmedabad, maybe batting conditions would be better. So you never know. I think that's been a major factor. And obviously, we're saying this over Lucknow lens.
Yeah. I like the fact that they're going to a different venue, but I don't like the fact that they're going to Ahmedabad. So that's
It's sad. I feel Ahmedabad is jinxed because it was announced as the venue for the final and then COVID happened the second time. And then Ahmedabad was supposed to be the venue for the final for the T20 World Cup, and the T20 World Cup happened in the UAE.
Jeez, I wonder why it's jinxed.
Yeah, okay. Maybe let's not get that. But do you think they'll be third time lucky? And maybe that's why they're not announcing it. They don't want it to get jinxed. They'll announce it 2 days before the playoffs start.
Like, boom! Hey guys, you guys have to fly to Ahmedabad. Yes. Okay, boom. Let's go for it. Yeah.
Precisely, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but speaking about Lucknow, I think they're going to face a big conundrum now, right? Because Marcus Stoinis is back. He's in, I think if you see, what's his name? Hazelwood and Maxwell are back for Australia, but they couldn't, from Australia, but they couldn't play for RCB today. They can play, I think you guys play 3 days later.
So Maxwell can play the next game actually against Mumbai on Saturday. Okay. But Hazelwood is not yet entered the bubble. He'll only be available from 12th.
Got it. So that's the thing, right? Like we're closing in on that time by Marcus Stoinis is gonna be available for Lucknow.
Essentially Stoinis will be available from tomorrow onwards.
Yeah. Why hasn't Hazelwood come back then? That makes no sense.
So after the
test series, and then went back home. Sorry, not Batchelor.
No. So it seems he suffered an injury in the test series against Pakistan. So he went back to Australia and is like dealing with it himself. And he'll be here in time for the 12th, like any game after 12. So that game is against Chennai, according to after that. So, yeah, that's
great game to come in to play a former franchise and your current franchise, Arch-Nemesis. I think maybe Kolkata and CSK compete to be your biggest rivals. But I don't think Mumbai is as big a rival as Kolkata and CSK. Because CSK, you know, you have the Kaveri sort of backdrop, and KKR, you have the first ever game in the history of this tournament was
KKR.
And they've had a history of, you know, battering you guys, and then you've sort of paid the favor a couple of times as well. I think in that sense, and I think it's also the fact that I think this really pissed RCB fans off that I still remember when you guys had that, what was it, 49 all out?
Yep.
Right? They cut this cake that said play bold, but it was BOLED, and that pissed the shit out of the RCB players. I still remember that because the return fixture, everyone just looked so angry. So I think that rivalry is always going to stick. It's like a modern day Man City.
I don't know. I have this secret hate boner for KKR as well. Yeah. Like I tend to not give them credit for anything as well. So even to a degree also, even though. And there are a lot of blowouts also between them. Like, there's a lot of when if I'm not wrong, Kohli and Gambhir had a lot of beefs, right?
Oh yeah, they had that. I think that was a beef for me. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so it makes sense actually. The Mumbai one also. Like, I mean, I don't. I think even like back, I don't know whether Mumbai considers RCB as a rival, but I think RCB considers Mumbai as a rival. So I don't know.
I don't think it's as big as KKR and CSK.
Probably.
I think it's also because, you know, the final you lost to CSK, and then CSK has beaten you guys many times from like
situations. Yeah, there is a history.
Historic Chennai versus Bangalore. It, dude, this is historic. This is like since the 40s we hate each other.
Because of
water. So I think that's just how it is. It's like a, it's the Kaveri Derby. You can't, it doesn't get bigger.
Yeah.
So that's the thing.
Yeah, it's Lucknow, very heated also.
Can we get back to Lucknow though? Because I feel really bad for Lucknow fans. They deserve a better.
Do they have fans though?
They probably do. They have, dude. UP is the biggest state, like most popular state. Come on, don't be here.
Okay. I mean, sure, but I mean, saying but from the perspective that this is a new franchise, right? And this is a new team in a new place or whatever. By the way, I'm going off the tangent here. I hate their jersey. They look like these knockoffs you buy from the.
I told you it's fluorescent. It's glow in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't know that they're a combination of piss and no, not piss.
Mountain Dew and Chennai.
Yes, that's what you can say. Yeah.
Do you think we should name the podcast that Mountain Dew and Chennai?
Okay.
This episode should be called Mountain Dew and Chennai.
Mountain Dew and Chennai. Yeah. Okay.
People please don't mix that. We're not advising that. Put like a statutory warning. But. What do you say? So Lucknow, I think one more thing that I want to talk about. Yeah, so Stoinis is coming back. So because of that, I think they're going to have some selection issues. First of all, I do not think Dushmanta Chamira deserved to be dropped. That was a very quintessential Punjab move from KL Rahul and Andy Flower. And I didn't expect Gambhir to do that, right? Because I thought Dushmanta Chamira was a better bowler. Has been a better bowler than Andrew Tai. Maybe they kept him for the experience or whatever, but that, and now that Holder's come back and done a good job. Against Sunrisers, he was really good. With the ball, at least. And you have Stoinis coming back, who's, what do you say? He was your draft pick. He was your second draft pick. So he should walk into this side. So it makes things really interesting as to who they play, right? Because
Who are there? Four foreigners so far?
It's Jason Holder, Andrew Tai, Quinton Didcock, and who's the third?
Nobody else. I think they were playing with three. I'm not sure.
Were they? That is interesting. No, because they played Andrew Tai and Dushmanta Chamira together one game.
They dropped Chamira for somebody.
Jason Holder, Evan Lewis, man. How could we forget Evan Lewis?
Oh, I forgot about Evan Lewis, actually. Completely. Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, Evan Lewis finished the game for them against CSK. So, who do you drop from this
team? I mean, I think it's easy. It's Andrew Tai. Not easy.
Is Avesh Khan the leader of the bowling attack?
It's not. That's why I had a lot of misgivings about this game, right? From the beginning, I think that they were like, even Mark Wood also, I wouldn't consider him whatever.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you have two players who ball express 140
with
decent accuracy, and then you have Stoinis and Holder and Krunal, like, and then you have Ravi Bishnoi, so you have like 6 to 7 bowling options. It's still a good team because Mark Wood can swing the ball up front,
and the pace.
Jason Holder is really good in the depth as well. So it's like you have your bases covered to begin with, and Ravi Bishnoi also balls in most situations. So it's, they had, I think with Mark Wood, they had a very sort of sorted lineup, and even Dushmanta Chamira balls, he can touch the early 140s. So I don't know with what to do with this team though, but I think like you said at the top, it's too early to sort of judge them.
I think we can judge them like they and Gujarat after next week.
Week two,
like,
yeah.
That would be more optimal.
Better sample space, yeah.
Sample size is much, much easier for us. Because, I don't know, I'm impressed by Badhoni, the kid, and Hooda, but how much can you trust that they've been handed one of the more softer, I mean, we didn't think it would be soft at the time, but now it looks like one of the most softer opening games ever, based on what they've done so far.
I mean, out of the three, I thought two were, because if you remember my Sunrisers rant, but we'll get to that a little later.
Mm.
And I think CSK also, the reason I rated them so highly is because I thought Dhoni would be captain when we recorded.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later, right?
I just have a lot of stuff. Go for RCB quickly
because it's 108. I want to wrap up by 2 so that I can sleep till 9 and go to office.
Sure. So I think